Hi, everyone. Welcome to Joshua Live. I'm Gary Temple Bodley. In today's episode, Joshua talks about moving into a new dimension. That new dimension is created when you choose a higher perspective of yourself. You see, your vibration is really the communication of how you perceive yourself in regards to all subjects in all areas of your life. As you start to see yourself in a more empowering way, well, you raise that vibration and attract a reality that is the feedback mechanism that shows you how you're perceiving yourself in all areas of your life. So that's the new dimension Josh was talking about, and they explain it perfectly in this episode. I think you'll really enjoy this one. We have a bunch of new stuff happening. There is a new Ascension Experience group going together in the beginning of November. So if you'd like information on that, please visit theteachingsofjoshua.com and look for Ascension Experience in the top there. And the first group is the Alignment Course. So take a look at that. And if you're interested, go ahead and sign up for that course and you'll be ready to go when we start. We have a Facebook group. It's called Friends of Joshua. If you're not in that group yet, please search for us there and we'll add you to the group. It's private. So it's just for people who are following Joshua. And we have a lot of stuff going on there. And please remember to like and subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends and spread the word. That really helps a lot. Everything that you do, we really appreciate here. So thanks so much for doing that and get ready and enjoy this episode. We are thrilled to be here.
Hi, Joshua.
Hi, Joshua.
So we'd like to let you know about something that, well, it's interesting to know about. You have all come to a certain level of awareness about who you are, and you're now starting to think about things in a new way. And at this time on this planet, with the vibrations that are going on, this time of awakening, you are opening up to new realities of what's possible for you. And as you open up to those new realities, as you start to see yourself from a higher perspective, as you start to allow things to unfold as if they're perfect, as if they're good, as if everything is working out for you, as if you are one with all that is, as if you are the creator of your reality, well, you step into a new dimension. We've talked about this before, this new dimension. You might assume that it is radically different from anything that you've ever experienced before. And this is true, yet it is still due to the law of the universe and due to the law of continuity and due to how the system of physical reality works, it will not appear physically different to you. Only how you feel about it will be different. Now, that's the most important thing that's going on here, because in your reality now, you project how you feel about yourself onto that reality, and everything in your reality, which is you, reflects back that perception of yourself. As you raise that perception, well, what you're really doing is raising your vibration, because your vibration, in essence, is your perception of yourself. So if you think about yourself from a higher perspective, from more positive terms, for more empowering beliefs, well, then everything that in your reality, you see that in a new way. Now, that was all there to begin with. Nothing has really changed. It all sort of looks the same, yet how you interpret it or your relationship to all of it is different. And this is the new dimension that we're talking about. How you relate to your bank account, your mate, your body, your health, your passions and interests, your surroundings, your government, your friends and family, how you relate to all of this is how you relate to yourself. If you're accepting it more, well, what that means is you're accepting yourself more. And this is a new dimension, because this is a dimension of higher levels of acceptance. Now, love is acceptance. So when you are in higher levels of acceptance, you are living in a higher level of love, a higher version of love. You are allowing more love in. And love is infinite. So we want to let you know that this exploration of love will never be finished, because you are interested in understanding it in better terms. Up until this point, in all the lives you've lived before, and your past life, this life, your past in this life, you've been interpreting your conditions and the people in that yourself from a limited perspective. And this causes you to perceive things in a way that is not true. That's the illusion. When you move towards more acceptance of yourself, you raise that vibration or that self-perception, and suddenly you have new relationships with everything in your reality. Now, those things you thought were important or meant something tend to lose their meaning, because nothing outside of you makes any difference. It's all projecting from within. And who you truly are is a pure being of love. So who you are is love. And as you project more love into your reality, you'll feel about the same things that were there before in a different way, and you'll relate to them in a different way. You'll relate to them at a higher vibration. This higher vibration unlocks all sorts of things, most of all, inspiration. Now, this is an important thing to understand, because without the inspiration coming to you, you would not be able to move along your journey of self-discovery to discover who you truly are, which is love. So this entire system is set up so that you can understand more and more and more about who you are, unlock more possibilities for you, unleash more inspiration coming and flowing through you, and then push past more fear to act on those inspired ideas. As you do this, you travel further along your journey of self-discovery. Now, you must remember, this is all about you. It has nothing to do with anyone else. All the people in your reality, well, they're only true from your perspective, because you cannot know who they truly are. They are only meaningful from your perspective. The relationship that you have with these people is really a relationship you have with yourself. And so they present versions of you to yourself. And those of you in the Oneness Course have come to understand that the relationship between your friend, your parent, your mate is really a relationship with yourself. If you learn to or are able to accept them more in love, then what you're doing is accepting yourself more in love. And they change not who they truly are, but how they respond to you, because that's always a relationship. You accept them, what you're doing is you're accepting yourself. You see the positive aspects in them, you're realizing that those positive aspects have always existed within you. Now, those positive aspects that have always existed within you are often unseen by you, because you want to be different than you are. You want to somehow manipulate others into liking, loving, respecting you. You feel that if they responded to you in a better way from your perspective, that you would feel better yourself. Now you're seeing that that has nothing to do with it. How you see yourself is the only thing to do with it. And so if you are comfortable in your own skin, if you're accepting every single aspect of you, then that will be reflected back. Now, that isn't actually changing the reality. It's changing how you perceive that reality. And so the reality that you're living in might look very similar, but it will feel so much better. More and more and more of the time, as you express love to others, to yourself, to the conditions, in acceptance of all of that, you will feel better. The more you feel better, the more able you are to maintain that alignment and receive that inspiration. And that inspiration will move you forward. In the past, when you were living in fear, you birthed desires to alleviate that fear. And so those desires caused you to move. You were able to push past fear to act on those desires, because you thought if those desires were manifested into your reality, you'd feel better. And so all those desires were based in fear. I don't have enough money. I don't have someone to love. I don't like the size and shape and look of my body. I don't like the health. I don't like how I feel. And so you birthed all these desires to get you to a different place so that you could see things from a different perspective. Then when you started to accept yourself, you started to receive inspiration. So rather than the desires, the inspiration took over. The inspiration is based on who you truly are. It's based in love. It's based on a overall truth of this reality, which you call your life. And so when you're acting on those inspirations rather than the desires based in love, you're moving along your life as you intended to even more discover what love is. You've been discovering, playing around with, exploring what love isn't in fear. And you've crossed over to a new threshold now, a new dimension, where you can leave alone the fear, know they're just arising from limiting beliefs, and then receive the inspiration to uncover more pockets of love in your reality. The more you uncover the pockets of love, the more you ascend to discover more about yourself. Now, sometimes these things that you discover about yourself might bring up old traumas or wounds or disappointments or what have you. This is really the base of your fear. This is the base of your perception of yourself as a victim. And as you process and uncover those deep-seated limiting beliefs about yourself and work through that fear by acting on inspired ideas, the fear is then resolved. And each time you resolve a fear, you change a limiting belief into a beneficial belief. This is what changes your reality. This is what keeps you moving forward to the new dimensions of love. And this is what you are all here to do. As you do it for yourself, you're doing it for all that is, because all that is you. And so we'd like you to present an idea to you. And this is the idea that maybe, just maybe, it might be beneficial to realize that you are self-contained, that nothing outside of you is necessary for you to live in joy and peace and harmony, and that everything you need is within you. And if you can understand that it's all within you, you won't keep looking for others to support you or for others' ideas of what's good for you or for their opinions or their feedback or anything outside of yourself. It's all within, projected through the lens of your self-perception onto your reality. That reality grows brighter and more beautiful the more you see yourself as pure, positive love, because that's who you truly are. With that, we'd like to talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. Who would like to start?
I would.
Joshua. Joshua.
Oh, excellent. Go ahead.
Can I go?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, Joshua. So this idea of self-containment, and then the idea of death, the transition of a loved one. I understand that the non-physical part, you know, is eternal, is present. There's no loss there. I'm having a hard time still reaching that level of clarity surrounding the physical body that seems gone.
Excellent.
How do I, can you give me some sort of help in terms of not perceiving the disappearance of the physical body as loss? How is that not an illusion? How is that the illusion?
You have a loved one.
Yeah.
You interact with this loved one however you do it. Maybe they're living in your home with you and you're with them every single day. Somehow you've attracted this loved one. Mm-hmm. Somehow they weren't there before and they came into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Or you were born into a family and they were always there from your perspective, but essentially they came into your life the moment you were born, or maybe even the moment you were aware of them a couple of years later. So you developed a relationship with this person over time. The relationship was only to understand you for the duration that you were required to understand you from that relationship perspective.
Yes.
But let's say that you have, in your case, a brother. The brother's there, you're there, and on day 47, you have a relationship to who you perceive that person to be. On day 48, it's a different relationship because you've changed, he's changed.
Yes.
You have this ongoing relationship, which you think is static, but it's changing every day. The relationship is for a discovery of yourself through what you perceive are his eyes looking back on you, but it's still your projection, because it's only through your interpretation of this relationship that anything matters. You have no idea who he is, why he's come, or what he's thinking or feeling or interpreting about you from his perspective. You only know your perspective. Now, that duration of that relationship is for a specific time of growth. And when it's no longer necessary, that's the end of it. And then when that relationship is ended, that person will leave your life, whether they move to another part of the world or whether they transition to the non-physical. The timeline of that relationship is what it is, and it's always perfect. Your limited perspective, you believe, I would be better off if my brother was still here. But see, this is from a limited perspective, because from the higher perspective, you would never think that. You would always think the physical representation of my brother was needed for that period of time. When that relationship is no longer necessary because now I can go on to something else, then that relationship in the physical reality has run its course. Yet it's still available to me in the non-physical. So every time I think of him, I can communicate with him, that sort of thing, if I choose to. If I choose not to, that's fine too. Now imagine that you came to Earth and you were going to come and have four love interests. You would have one love interest and that might end, and then a new one might come, and a new one would come after that, and another one after that. If you never left the first one, if you held on to it because you believed in order for you to be happy, that had to be maintained throughout the entirety of your life, well, you'd have a limited experience of love in this life. of your love, because mm-hmm. how you relate to this person over a period of time starts at one level, moves mm-hmm. to another level, and then that will be ready for something else. Because if you were with that person the whole time, you would only see yourself from one perspective. But what if you wanted four perspectives? What if that was your intention?
And yeah, so you, yeah, yeah.
So you say, okay, I'm going to go into this relationship in high school. I'm going to see what this love thing is. I'm going to have this experience of romance. I'm going to feel good, feel bad, feel all these emotions, have all these limiting beliefs pop up, and have all the experiences that I have. After high school, I have another one in college. After college, I have another one in my 20s. And after that one, I have one that's maybe a marriage and have children, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. From the limited perspective of the teenager, you might think that teenage boyfriend is the one that you want for your entire life. But you have no idea what's yet to come, you see. And so
right.
since you're putting everything encapsulated in what you perceive to be outside of you, mm-hmm. you're efforting and struggling to maintain things or to control things or to make things there. So can you see that with that limited perspective, believing that your boyfriend's outside of you, not an aspect of you, your brother's outside of you, not an aspect of you, you're trying to hold all this thing, all these things together because you don't want the emotion of grief to come in or loss or mm-hmm. rejection because mm-hmm. these are your greatest fears. And mm-hmm. so from the higher perspective, as you could see, if you return to the non-physical, or maybe at the end of your life, as you look back on all the loves you had and all the mm-hmm. relationships you've had, you could say, well, this one led to that one. And that one led to this thing that I did. And that one led me to write this book. And that one led me to go into coaching. And that one led me to learn more about the laws of the universe. And that's what I truly wanted. So every right. relationship served its purpose. But it yes, would not yes. serve your purpose if it lingered more than was necessary.
Yes, I understand that intellectually. Yes, I've had you explain that to me. I think I'm good intellectually. What I'm focused at this point is, you know, the disappearance of the physical body, which I understand the body is an illusion in itself. How can we marry this understanding so that, and again, I'm trying to avoid negative emotion. I understand that that's what I'm doing. But how do you not perceive the disappearance of a physical body as loss? I can't.
The only reason you're perceiving it as loss
yes.
is because you're projecting the future of mm-hmm. that relationship. That future has nothing to do with the relationship. The relationship's always in the moment.
Right.
So what you're really experiencing is I'll spend the day with you. You'll go to sleep. And that's the loss mm-hmm. because tomorrow is going to be a brand new person and a brand new relationship.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes,
your
yes.
projection is the past and the future and not the present moment. Mm-hmm. If you're realizing the present moment, you would understand that there is no loss. It can't be.
Yeah. There because from my limited perspective, there is no more brand new person because the person is gone.
Or the new person, yeah, in the next day, it seems like the same person.
Right, but when that person has transitioned and the body is not there, there is no new person anyways.
There's no new person, mm-hmm. but there's no loss of the old person because the old person is always with you. You have
but
that.
But there's the loss of the body, though.
There's this loss of what you projected in the future.
Okay.
You might say, I believe that my brother should be with me from the time I'm born to the time I'm dead, mm-hmm. which would be a limited perspective. And so as long as he's with you, you will use that as an excuse to be happy. As long as he's being nice and not yes. triggering limiting beliefs and all this, you'll say, I am happy that my brother is here. Mm-hmm. And then at some point in your life, if he ever leaves for any reason, you mm-hmm. will use that as your excuse not to be happy. Because you're using the outside conditions, what appears to be in your reality, as your excuse to be happy or sad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. I
That's
would
do
that exactly.
All done from the limited perspective of the victim. Yes. Now, can you feel that way about mm-hmm. a person? Well, maybe not yet. Mm-hmm. But can you feel that way about $100 or a wallet or a laptop or these things you think you lose? I lost my laptop or my laptop broke and I'm perceiving loss. Because I think the loss negatively affects me, and I'm going to use that as my excuse to be upset.
Okay.
I'm feeling the loss of my brother that was never there in the first place, because when I woke up this morning, he's not there. I'm using that vacancy, that feeling of lack, as my excuse to feel bad, rather than realizing this was the perfect timeline. There are no mistakes. And then, of course, you'll reunite with him when you decide to transition, or when you decide to communicate with him in a physical sense to a non-physical entity who is always with you all the time. Imagine that you were a mother in World War II and your son is off to war, and you're living every day with the belief in your mind that he's somewhere off in Europe and he's safe and alive. And then one day the government comes and they show up to let you know that he died in combat. Well, he died 6 months ago. But for those 6 months, you had no idea. So you weren't using that as your excuse to be bad, to be upset. You kept the vision of him in your mind alive, even though you had no idea what was happening. So it was all a mental construct, which allowed you to use this false perception of reality to believe that he was okay, when in fact he had already transitioned to the non-physical. Once you are given the proof that he's returned, then you use that as your excuse to feel bad, because you projected that person would be there in the future.
Yes.
Well past the time that you transitioned.
Exactly. So if and when that happens again, somebody's ready to transition, I have the freedom to use this transition as my excuse to feel bad or not.
Or good. Exactly.
Or good. Yes, exactly. And I can use the perceive or the disappearance of the physical body as my excuse to feel bad or good.
Or as your, and you can look at it from a higher perspective all along. So the more you look at it from the higher perspective, the less triggering the limiting beliefs will be. Because the limiting beliefs are saying you've lost someone dear to you who will never be there again, and your life will be ruined because of that from now to the end. It'll be less than it was because he is gone.
Yes.
That's a limiting belief. Because you don't have enough information. You're just perceiving the outside of you.
Yes.
Now, imagine that you could say, I perceive that he has lived exactly as he intended, that he's gotten everything he needed to get in this lifetime.
Yes.
That
I've got
everything with him in this lifetime, and that he is no longer needed for me.
Necessary. Yes.
And if he was here, it would be a distraction. Because I'd be spending time thinking about him or with him rather than all the things that I'm here to experience after. He was launching me towards this new life. And had he stayed around, I could not follow that trajectory.
Right.
The trajectory was like a booster rocket lifting you to orbit. And it was no longer needed. To have it stay with you would be to drag it around in space. And it would be bulky and not necessary, and a distraction from what you intended.
Yes. The reason I ask this question is because, you know, I understand intellectually about the illusion of loss. I just wouldn't know how to prove to myself that the physical body is not lost when it is not here anymore. So that's really, you know, that was the core of the question for me here, at least. I understand intellectually what you're saying about that person no longer being necessary. I've looked at that. I think I can
now
accept that.
That is all we're looking for here.
Okay.
This intellectual understanding. Why would you want to know it? To know it as fact. What would the benefit of knowing as fact that there is no loss? How would that serve you?
From a limited perspective, it would make me feel better.
So the outside condition would make you feel better. So the only reason you want this is because you perceive it would make you feel better.
Yes.
And that would eliminate the need for physical reality altogether. Because if you could make the outside conditions feel better and you are moving towards becoming a deliberate creator, what you would do then is you would say, I want to bring my brother back. And you would bring him back. From the physical, from the non-physical to the physical. That's how powerful you are. But that would never serve you. And
yes.
So you would never do that.
Yes.
So just understand that this is part of the process of physical reality to discover who you truly are, and the illusion of loss and separation and limitation and lack and rejection and failure and all these things, and even death, are part of the illusion that allows you to move forward, to think in a new way. Because without this experience...
So there's no proving it false because it is needed.
There's no proving it's false because you can't remember what it's like to be in the non-physical. Yeah. You can't go into the non-physical and come back yourself. You can watch videos of people who have near-death experiences, but that's their experience. And and so you can use it to move yourself intellectually to a higher vibrational place, but you can't know it until you have that experience of it. Now, what would happen if this happened? You have a relationship with your brother. You realize that that relationship led you to exactly where you are now. And that without the exact duration and quality of that relationship, from your perspective, you would never be here now.
Yes.
You further understand that where you are now is the perfect place to be. You feel better than ever before. You're helping people. You're thinking in a new way. You're responding in new ways to your reality. You're living a more satisfied life. You're doing all these things. Now let's imagine that you brought him back. If that happened, how would that benefit you?
It would make me feel good.
So would you give up everything that you've got now to feel good for that instant? And then even to realize that upon bringing him back, you've changed the course of the entire universe. You've popped him out of wherever he was, only for your own selfish needs.
Right, right. I wouldn't do that. I really wouldn't do that. I'm afraid of the next transition. That's really, you know, and I'd like to prepare myself as much as possible. And I'm realizing I'm totally trying to control conditions in doing that. So I think I'm understanding that there's really no way to prove the illusion of the law is false, because it is necessary so that I can continue my expansion.
You continue to make choices based in how you perceive the reality without proof.
Ah.
You see, because if you had the proof, there would be no fear. And so this is a game of processing and pushing past fear.
Right.
So think about an inspiration you receive. If you knew the proof that that would lead to something you thought was good for you, it would be it would be easy to push past the fear. There would be no faith involved. And so there'd be no expansion, because the expansion is gained in pushing past the fear. And without the fear and the illusion, there'd be no expansion.
Okay. All right. I get that. Thank you. That's it. I got it. Thank you so much for your patience. All right.
Gary and friends were talking on the porch about this concept of transitioning the non-physical, and that there is no death and there's only life, and no one's ever experienced a death. They've just experienced coming from one focus to another focus.
Right.
And they said, that's all good and well, but if someone came on the porch with a gun, everyone would freak out. But this is the whole point of this. Could you act differently? Could you go to a funeral and be a little bit lighter?
I would love that.
Could you see someone walking down the street and look scary and not cross the street? Could you operate from this intellectual understanding of how things work in a new way that adds more love, acceptance, and joy into your life? And as you process these ideas and think in new ways, you unlock new thought patterns that enables you to help others going through the same thing, which gives you immense joy and satisfaction, which is what you intended to experience in this lifetime. And everything worked out perfectly, as you know.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
May I go?
Yes.
Hi.
Thank you. On a podcast or Joshua Live last week, I said, I can now say the words, I am source. And within the answer, you said this sentence, and I'm going to read the sentence and then I'm going to give my interpretation and you can tell me if you think I'm on the right path. You said all sorts of things that Joshua always says. And then you said this sentence, all you need to do is take your attention off your needs and place them on your entire reality. And how I took that when I meditated on that was that my entire reality is my physical reality and my non-physical reality. And so my inner self, which it almost seems like a separation now to even refer to my inner self as my inner self. It's that's how blended it's becoming now. It's
just a definition.
Right. So, but my inner self's entire reality includes everything in the non-physical, and everything in the non-physical is possible instantaneously. And so if you say I need to place my attention on my entire reality, I guess where I want some clarity is how to think about doing that. How do I think in my human form about how my inner self in the non-physical thinks about its entire reality? And then with that, then the example of Jesus came up, who, you know, miracles and rising from the dead and all this. I mean, if this concept fits with what you're saying, Jesus in the human form saw his entire reality from the non-physical point, and that's how he could break the illusion and do these sorts of things.
Exactly. Think of yourself, the Jim that's sitting in that chair, as the projector. Think of what you observe as the screen. The projector doesn't think about what it needs, it's just projecting. What's on the screen is what's important to the projector. And so if you can look at everything on that screen, and instead of being afraid of this and worried about that and careful about this thing over here and regretting that over there, well, then you can see every point on that screen, every pixel on that screen is a point of love. And you're projecting love to all of it. When you are thinking about yourself, you're thinking about yourself as the spectator and not the projector. This image on the screen either makes me happy or makes me sad. And so then I have to control the image on the screen. But the image on the screen is neutral, and you have the choice of accepting it or rejecting it. So think about every relationship you have. Think about how you perceive yourself, how you perceive your environment, your conditions, your government, your society, your city, your town, your country, your world. All of that is on that screen, everything. But that screen is you. So if you can look at everything on that screen and look at it with love and enhance it in love rather than reacting to it as if it's wrong or bad, then you're taking the focus off of what you need and placing it on your reality. So your reality is what you perceive. You can change that perception from fear to love. When you understand that you are the source projector of that reality, and that's only a feedback mechanism to show you how you perceive yourself as a human in this moment in time, how close you are blended with your inner self, or how much you perceive the illusion of separation from the limited self. So that person living as a victim will not perceive themselves as source or connected to any inner self or anything. They'll perceive that the conditions are bad and wrong and out to get them. And so they'll effort and struggle to make those conditions different than they are, with the base perception that the conditions make them feel something. And you all know that that's not true. You are interpreting the conditions, what you perceive, through your filters of beliefs. The limiting beliefs get triggered by what you fear, and the empowering beliefs allow you to live in harmony with the system, enjoy with it, with all your relationships. And so as you move from victim to creator, once you become the creator, all of a sudden there's nothing on that screen that can cause you any anxiety. You love it all, and you project love to it all. There's no control in there. You don't say, I'll love you when you love me first. You just say, I love you. I accept you. I respect you. I'm here for you. I serve you. All of it, every aspect of it, the ones you love and the ones you have a problem with, the ones that annoy you. You start to see, well, why do they annoy me? Because I have a limiting belief about this, that, and the other thing. Let's process that limiting belief. Let's do all that work internally, and I project something new. I don't need you to change for me to feel good. I don't need you to stick around for me to feel good. I don't need you to do anything for me to feel good. I'm here to accept you in this moment as you are. And that's how you project love onto your reality. If you perceive yourself as a victim, there's no way to do that because you will always, always, always want them to change to suit you so that you'll feel better when you gaze upon them. Once you realize you're the creator of the reality, then you take the focus off of what you need and place it on everything else that you perceive.
So when I place my attention on my entire reality, is it possible for me to place my attention on my non-physical reality?
You can place your attention on your non-physical reality when you meditate.
Okay.
You can become one with every thought that comes to you and realize the thoughts are non-physical. So whatever thoughts come to you are those that are attracted to you by your vibration or your perception of yourself. So if you're meditating in the beginning and you're getting all these random thoughts coming in and all these things that you need to do and worry and doubt and all that stuff coming in, well, that's where your vibration is at that time. If you're able to observe the thoughts and not associate yourself with those thoughts or define yourself by those thoughts and just realize they're just attracted. Those are thoughts that have been thought before and they're coming in. And then you can be neutral about it all and let them go, let them come, let them go, just observe them. And then you'll notice that you'll start to receive higher vibrational thoughts of love, maybe inspired ideas or fun things to think about or people that you haven't talked to for a while might pop into your head. All that's the non-physical. All that inspiration, all that connection, all that communication, all the insights and wisdom and things that are coming from within, all the aha moments that you get, all that's the non-physical part. So that's all you need to connect. You don't have to try and visualize it because you never will.
Right.
Now, the physical reality part, that's where you place your attention. Because once you open your eyes, you can see what's there. You can feel how you react to it. If you think you will feel better because they offer you something you think you need, then you're going to be inauthentic in your relationship with them because it'll be a transactional relationship. I will be good to you if you're good to me. I will do X, Y, and Z for you if you give me X, Y, and Z back. I'll do this, but you have to agree to do it first. All of these things, you see? Now, that's the approach of victim. That's the old approach to life. It's a transactional approach to life, and it will never work for you. It can't work. It defies the laws of this universe. But that approach to life does give birth to new desires, and those new desires allow you to push past fear to get what you think you want. So it is moving you forward and expanding you in some ways. Once you realize that old approach to life does not work and you adopt the approach of love and acceptance, then you start to see everything in a new way. I'm the creator of this reality. Therefore, that person is my creation, or at least that relationship with the person is my creation. How can I elevate that relationship to see myself as the creator of it and to see the other person as this aspect of my reality that I want to feed love to? I don't need to negotiate anymore. I don't need them to be any different. I can absolutely accept them unconditionally as they are, or at least intellectually attempt to do so. And now you're starting a new game where you're saying, how much can I accept them? How much more can I let them be who they are? How much more can I be authentic in this relationship with them? How can I let go of all forms of control as much as I can? And so there'll be those who are easy to be with, and you'll say, oh, I totally accept you as you are. And sure, that sounds like a good idea. Go for it. And I have no fear of what you choose to do. And then there'll be your children or your mate. And you'll have to see that new way and start to act a little bit differently, remembering that you still have strong limiting beliefs, that you have to keep them safe and provide for them and all these things. You have to be this idea of a husband and father and all these things. And so you'll realize in those relationships where there are strong attachments to your identity and to limiting beliefs, that game you're playing now of acceptance will be a little more difficult, but at least you're thinking about it in new ways. And so you're taking it off of what you need to feel safe and secure and respected and loved and all these things. And you're just saying, I'm going to place all of my attention on them, all my focus on them, to see how little control I need to exert and how much acceptance I can give them. when you do that, you become more authentic. And then they transform into higher level beings that now reflected your higher level thinking about yourself. That's all this is.
Yeah. All right. I just want to make one more comment here and then I'll be done. So when I connect to my non-physical reality in meditation, I get thoughts so big, scares the hell out of me. Like what I'm supposed to do with my life and who I'm supposed to be. It's scary. But anyway, I know somebody else wanted to talk.
So. Can you push past a little fear here and there? Can you act on one inspired idea a day? Can you do the small things first? Or do you have to jump right into the deep end of the pool and start swimming for your life?
No.
So those ideas are there to be inspired. Can you move towards them? Not desires that are based in lack, but inspiration coming that's exciting and exhilarating and interesting, yet fearful. How much fear can you push past to be the authentic version of you that you receive when you're meditating? And that's the game you're here to play. How much can you do? I can do this, I can do this, but I can't do that. I'll never do that. Well, you'll never do it now, but maybe in a year you'll do it. And maybe it's a journey, and this is all you want is the journey. Wonderful questions.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Joshua?
Yes.
Hi. Thanks, Jim. That was great because my question has to do with what you were saying too. But first I had a little story that yesterday when we were coming home from the airport from Boston, the traffic was really a lot of traffic. And I was looking out at all the cars and I was thinking, wow, we're all one. And then I looked over to my right and I seem to be seeing things on tractor trailer trucks lately, but it was a tractor trailer truck. And on the side, it had big O-N-E on it as I was driving. Are you there, Joshua? Because all I see is Jim.
So we're here.
Oh, there you are. Okay. So anyway, so that was one thing I wanted to say. So that went along with the oneness thing that we're the oneness subject. But so when I was leaving the grocery store this morning, I was driving out of the parking lot and I looked over and there was a man panhandling on the corner. And I was like, oh God, you know, this really annoys me. And next thing I knew, I was saying to myself, wow, I created this reality. So if I created this reality, I created that man. And then I thought, well, how can I make it a more loving reality? And I immediately wanted to give him something, which I never felt that way before, but I was in the wrong lane. So I couldn't give it to him. But later on, I did have another opportunity and I was able to do that. So that felt really good. And so then as I'm driving along, I'm looking at my reality thinking I'm creating all this reality. And so there's some things that we create intentionally. And
like what?
You know, the other,
what do you create intentionally?
Well, like my car, my house, you know,
you?
Those.
You think?
I think I do. There's a desire, right? So then.
So did you build your car?
No.
Did you build your house?
No, we just fixed
somebody
it.
Else,
but we didn't build.
Somebody else built it. Somebody else created the car. Somebody else created the house. You attracted it, you see. So everything's attracted in your reality. Now, from the creator part of it, we're talking about the non-physical and the physical all together. And that every experience that you have, all the relationships to everything that you perceive outside of you, all of that feeling that you have, that's how you create it. You're creating both in, from the non-physical sense, setting up the life with all the intentions that you set prior to your birth, to experiencing the life now. That's the creation. Everything else is brought to you based in your vibration, created by the universe. And so the universe inspired someone to design the car you're driving now, or to be the architect of the house you're living in now, or to build the house you're living in now, or build the city or anything. So all of this stuff was created through a set of intentions you set prior to your birth and the way that you're experiencing your reality now and the beliefs that you adopt along the way and how you're processing those beliefs or thinking in a new way. If you just simply were imagining yourself in the non-physical, you say, well, I'm going to be born as a woman on this date to these people in this town. And these are my personality traits and my talents and attributes that will be innate to me. And then I will be launched on a trajectory that will expand me from where I were, my position or my perspective prior to this birth, to the perspective I'll have after the experience and expansion of that life. And so that's a timeline. That's a straight up. Now, as you experience the life, if you succumb to fear and perceive yourself as a victim, you will live a limited experience of life. So let's say that you would go from 0 to 1 in a highly limited way. So there wouldn't be that much expansion of anything new. It'd be the same fears, but in a different context, because now it's a different time. It's different than the life you live from 1800 to 1900, for instance. So now you're living this life and you say, well, my intention is to experience even more and expand even more in this life, to come closer to discovery of who I truly am. So things happen in the life, and this is part of the creation of that life that the universe brings to you based in the intentions you set and the limiting beliefs that you hold at the time. So you have an experience. That experience is your relationship to yourself, to that other person, or whatever happened in that experience. And then you define yourself by that experience. Then that experience is added to all the other experiences that you have. Now, as you're going through those experiences, you may adopt a limiting belief here, or you may process the limiting belief over here. You may react one way here or react a different way here. You may be in fear here, but you push past the fear and to do what you're ever inspired to do, and you gain confidence and you expand to another level. So new experiences come. And so this, you might lead a very expansive life, constantly pushing past fear, maybe as a thrill seeker or something, or as one who comes to be interested in the laws of the universe and test these new crazy radical ideas. And so then that life is far more expansive than the limited life. And you've leapfrogged across timelines to get to another level. And you've actually changed dimensions. You find yourself in a different dimension. And you're now perceiving reality in a completely different way, where you're saying, which we acknowledge is a highly loved-based perspective on your life, is that all is one. So in the past, when you said, I'm really annoyed by panhandlers, that was based on a limiting belief in fear. Suddenly you see it in a new way because you stepped into a new dimension. And now you don't see that panhandler as annoying, but now you see him as a reflection of you, a relationship to you. The past relationship was one of annoyance. The newer relationship is one of love. How can I love and support this aspect of my creation? So the panhandler is neutral. You look at the panhandler from a perspective of victimhood and you say, my life would be better if there were no panhandlers because I wouldn't be feeling negative emotion every time I saw one. Now you say, this is an aspect of me that I want to express love to. How do I express love to this aspect of me? And boom, you get an idea. Maybe I can give him a little money. Maybe I can give him food. Maybe I can drive him where he wants to go, whatever it is. Maybe I can just have a conversation. Whatever that inspiration is leading you now to a more expanded experience of life because it's based in love. It's not limited as it once was, where you just turned your gaze away from them and ignored them and focused on something else. That relationship, that event happened, that experience happened, and the relationship now is transmuted because you're thinking about yourself in a new way. I am one with all that is in my reality. That panhandler could not be there if it wasn't an important, or we will say a valuable experience. It was a valuable experience that I can now use to see myself not as separate from him, but as one with him. Not that you have to experience what he's experiencing, because that's from his perspective. It's only the relationship between you and what that represents to you. When you change that representation, you change your entire reality and step into a brand new dimension. More of love, less of fear.
Okay. That's really good.
Clarify one thing here. You don't want to solve any problem. you don't want to take him off the street and buy him a house and give him a job and all these things. Because the only reason you do that is to soften the negative emotion that you feel when looking at him. That's controlling the conditions. What you want to say is, I accept that you are in my reality, that you play a part in this reality, and I want to approach my relationship to you from love, not fear. How can I serve you? Boom, inspired idea, whatever that is, you'll have fear. Oh, I'm in the wrong lane. I can't really do what I'm inspired to do. But you could have driven around, you see. You could have stopped, got out of your car. Who cares? It's your reality. You're making it up as you go along. You could have just said, I send you love. I send you peace. Whatever it is, you see. But whatever it is the thing that you can do in the moment. Now, you will never think that you can do it because that's the fear. But you always, always, always can do whatever you're inspired to do. And when you start acting on this inspiration, seeing these relationships in a different way, then you change your dimension, your experience of reality, your entire blueprint of your life, and you expand it to a new level.
Okay, so then I guess I have another technical question. Like, if we create our realities with the universe based on our beliefs and stuff, how do we create, like, as I was driving along after I encountered that man, I was seeing people walking home from work, and then I'm thinking, I created that. Like, I don't know, I didn't really create that, did I? I mean, if everything is a projection from me, then well, I guess I did.
Some people who live in igloos in Alaska, and they don't see what you see. They have a different creation. Your creation is in this town with all these people in this city doing all these things, and in this modern era with all this technology, and everyone is going about business the way you perceive they're going about business. But it's all your creation in your perspective or your perception of this reality.
Oh,
how does that feel to you? So one might be in the wilderness in a log cabin with just nature around. That's their creation. They may say, well, I was abandoned here and this is where I grew up in this small town and I'm stuck here because I don't have any money to get out of this town. But that's their creation. When they realize that they can create whatever they like, then inspiration will come, yet they'll have to push past the fear to act on that inspiration to walk into a new creation. Now you could say, I hate this town. I hate how busy it is. I hate all this stuff. And then move to Montana and encounter what feels like the same thing to you. The scenery may be different, but the relationships to all the different people and the different things will feel similar if you're in that lower vibration, because you'll attract a reality that feels the same. And since this is a feeling reality, that's the only thing that ever matters, is how you feel. So as we said in the beginning, your perception of reality might look very similar, but it'll feel much different. And this is how you know you've stepped into a new dimension.
I see. I was forgetting about the creation of my perception of it is the what I'm creating. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Wonderful. Who's next?
I have a question.
Yes.
Joshua. So let me see if I can word this right. My baby, like, I think about a year ago, I asked a question about my baby seeing non-physical stuff. And I understand intellectually that we are, there's no space and time and our non-physical selves are all together. And I'm walking around with my baby and he says, dad, dad, at a tree. And it's always a tree. And I keep thinking, is his dad's non-physical self popping in through the tree or like, and the lights? Because he often says also his sister's name when he sees a light. And I keep thinking, maybe she doesn't know it in her human self that my daughter or his dad is doing that, but maybe they're popping in. Like you said, sometimes you pop in to check on us, right? I'm wondering, do we do that to each other?
Well, everything is intertwined. So everything is happening all the time. But because you're so focused on how this physical reality looks to you, it's so intense, it's such in your face, then you're just really perceiving what you think is what's here. This is my house and my car and my neighborhood and my trees outside, and this is my reality, and it's always the same. It's the same thing. When you're an infant, you haven't learned to perceive things with labeling everything and choosing a way to see it. You're open to all possibilities. You're eager for all possibilities. And so until you adopt a perception of reality, and this is why humans can't remember much, because they don't adopt that perception of reality as firmly until they're 2 or 3 years old, or 4 years old, or 5 years old. And so your perception of reality seems to be fixed on the tangible physical aspects of that reality. But there's so much more going on here. And if you've ever had a psychedelic experience, you know for sure that there's more going on. So what's the difference then is there's this ego that needs to protect itself. And it does so by projecting this platform, this hologram on your reality so that you can navigate this reality and be safe. So it's always looking for danger everywhere it goes. That's its job. When something out of the ordinary happens, when you hear a voice or feel a presence or some synchronicity happens, your ego will always want to make a rational description of it, a rational understanding of it, and put it into physical terms. And so these things are happening all the time, all the time. And yet you're saying, oh no, that's just a blip. That's just like a light going crazy, or that's just a star that's flickering, or whatever it is. All these incredible things. Oh, I just was thinking about oneness, and then I noticed a truck that said one on the side of it. What a coincidence. What a lucky synchronicity. That's just what happens. So the more you can open yourself up to the possibilities that the physical and the non-physical are here together. You're just focused on the physical. When you transition to the non-physical, you will see it all clearly. But this is physical reality present with an illusion. The illusion keeps the system going. It's part of the system. It's great. But you can see through the illusion, and you're all moving towards realizing that it is just an illusion and seeing things more clearly and realizing that you're operating in this whole thing as if it was real, when, of course, you all know intellectually it's all a bunch of vibrating particles and atoms and cells and these things moving around to make it look real. You touch the desk, it seems solid. You know that you're not actually ever touching the desk. You know that the desk cannot be solid. You know that the desk is vibrating atoms and energy and molecules to represent to you what is, from your perspective, a desk by your own unique description of it. And when you look at your desk, no one sees your desk in the same way. So your perspective is completely unique. Now that allows you to have a unique experience of physical reality and expand in a unique way. And your experience adds to the tapestry of all that is. And so it's a benefit to all that is, and all that is you. So you're doing it for you. Now you could do it for you in fun and joy and confidence and passion and interest, or you could do it in fear. That's fine. Either way, you will expand your awareness of who you are and how this whole system works every time you live a physical life. But what if you could realize the illusion was just an illusion now, even though you still see it as real? But what if you could say, no, that's just an illusion. I can do what I'm inspired to do. The fear is just trying to keep me safe, but there is nothing to fear. I can do whatever I'm inspired to do. I can look at everything in a new way from a perspective of love rather than fear. I can change all of this to represent what is true for me. And if you can do that, then you can live the joyous life of that little baby, thinking whatever it thinks, knowing that it's free, knowing that it's abundance, knowing that there's nothing to fear, having no anxiety, and only thinking about when to eat and when to poop. And with that, we are complete.
Thanks. That's awesome. That was such a good answer.
Thanks, Joshua.
Thanks, Joshua.
Thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful week.
You too. Bye, Joshua.
All right. I really hope you enjoyed that episode. Please remember to like and subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends and leave a review. The reviews are the best things you can do. It really helps other people find the podcast. If you have any questions for me, please send me an email to garybodley@gmail.com. And if you would like more information on all the different stuff we offer, please visit theteachingsofjoshua.com. We have a new Ascension Experience group starting in the beginning of November. So check that out. It's right at the top of the website. And push past your fear and have an experience. And that experience will alter your perception of yourself, which will alter your reality because you'll raise your vibration in doing so. Words don't teach. You can listen to all these podcasts. You can watch the videos. You can read the books. That's great, but that's passive. What you really want is an experience. And that's what the ascension experience is. It's all these different assignments and plots and group things that we do together and interactions, all the phone calls, all the Zoom calls, all that stuff. So push past your fear and just check it out. That's all you have to do. That's your only inspired action for today, is check out the website and see what appeals to you. And of course, you can always send me a message if you like. And until next time, have a wonderful week. Bye.